One, getting money users in. Two, getting users around.
Lots of potential in Polkadot.
Now there's the ability for centralized exchanges to only support Asset Hub and be able to support the rest of the ecosystem.
This is brilliant.
It's abstracted
this
away from the user.
Space Monkeys blasting off with Nicolas Arevalo, co-founder and CEO of Velocity Labs, a treasury-funded initiative to increase the velocity of assets and DeFi action in the Polkadot ecosystem. Very great to have him on the show. Nico, thanks for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
Welcome
huge
to the show.
Fan.
Wow, thanks very much.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of getting a DeFi activity up in the Polkadot ecosystem. Why don't we wind back a little bit and just quickly tell our audience where you came from. Did you start in traditional finance?
Yep.
Okay. What was that like?
Not good. I thought it was going to be better. Started my career in Wall Street in New York.
Okay.
I'm originally from Colombia, but I moved to work in finance in New York.
Oh.
I did that for close to 5 years. It was kind of the typical movie-like Wall Street environment. Phones going off. Everyone screaming.
Wow.
So exciting, but soulless. If I might add. And yeah, it just didn't fill me. It didn't really, didn't spark my fire.
Yeah.
And then 2020, I started getting down the rabbit hole of crypto. It was just a perfect match. It was a sweet spot of what I wanted to do. Crypto is very tied to emerging markets in first world.
Mm-hmm.
We tie it to speculation and it's fun and it's exciting.
Sure, sure.
But when you find out about crypto and blockchain and the whole ethos behind it, it's very easy to find like the value that it adds in countries that don't have like a very established financial infrastructure.
Okay.
So that's when I went balls deep. And I can't say.
You can say whatever the hell you want.
All right, yeah. I went head first into DeFi.
Beautiful. So you really see the value add. You see the potential for growth.
Absolutely.
For people who could actually use it.
Absolutely. Like the easiest example, and it's boring. I sometimes send money to my mom in Colombia, and I would say I'm savvy enough, you know, technically.
Yeah. What do you
and
have to do?
And it's hard. You have to go through a lot of applications. It's expensive, and the receiver has to go, like, for example, to a supermarket. She has to present like a proof of address, her passport, and then she gets the money in cash.
Ridiculous.
I can't just send her to her bank account.
And
it's just impossible.
They take a fat cut, I'm sure. Yeah,
because there's just like two or three companies in the world doing it.
Yeah, crazy. And what's the adoption in Colombia specifically of crypto assets?
It's relatively high.
Okay.
It's definitely higher in countries like Argentina.
Yeah, right.
For obvious reasons, they have like more of an urgency because of their currency situation.
Sure.
But we have to a different degree, but the same amount of problems. So high inflation, volatile currencies, not enough like banking penetration. So people just don't have access to banking, regular banking services.
Yeah.
So that's where people kind of find the solution of stable coins, lend, borrow, et cetera, et cetera.
When did you find out about Polkadot? So this was 2020, COVID times.
Polkadot was my first DeFi job.
Okay.
I did a little stint in a company called Kaiko. It's a French company that does market data for crypto assets.
Okay.
So I was one of their first salesperson in New York. But I liked it so much. I started like going to these conferences, kind of building a network, understanding more the technology, understanding different ecosystems. And then it was a friend of mine in New York that I really respect. He works in Web2, but very technical, intelligent guy.
Sure.
Said, dude, you got to look at Polkadot. Polkadot's the future.
Yo.
And actually, he was showing me Fearless Wallet.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw it, and I was like, man, this is a different thing. It's interesting. Then I saw some of the Polkadot videos that they would show, like, them in Ibiza and in different parts of the world. And talking about
behind
Polkadot and behind the code.
Yes, exactly.
And behind the code, like, really sold me. Because that was
the
point that it was in consensus that people saw a multi-chain future.
That's right. It was
sometimes
a new
people
idea.
Would say like, oh no, everything's gonna happen in Ethereum, of course, or everything in one chain.
Yeah.
It wasn't as obvious. And for me, I thought like, no, this has to, like, if we're gonna reach mass adoption, this has to like be distributed onto a lot of chains with different use cases, optimized for different things. And Polkadot fit that bill. So I started looking through their job board, and that's how I landed on Acala.
I was so pumped on Acala.
Tell me about it.
They were the DeFi hub of Polkadot. And so you landed a job right in the heart of DeFi for this Polkadot ecosystem.
Yeah.
What was it all about at the time?
I mean, at that point, it was it was the dream job.
Yeah.
Like when I applied, I said, I'm never going to get this, but I'll apply. Oh. And then we started the interview process with Dan Reeser. We did a project throughout the interview process, which I really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I ended up getting the job at a place which at that moment, it was the darling of Polkadot. And it was very also outside of Polkadot. Like people knew Acala.
Yeah.
Also because of their cap table. Their cap table was one of the best in any project I've seen.
Yeah.
They had every investor you can think of in like top tier investors.
Yeah.
So that also gave it kind of a lot of exposure and validity.
They had deals with like, you know, one of those Current. New age Current. Yeah. They had deal with
that's,
Current.
That was what they were pushing for.
Yeah.
And that's what it was kind of a perfect match with everything I just told you about how I see crypto and emerging markets.
Mm-hmm.
It's hi-fi. That was our narrative.
That
so hybrid finance or what other people name the DeFi mullet, right? So traditional finance in the front and DeFi in the back.
DeFi party in the
DeFi
back.
DeFi mullet.
Nice. Yeah.
So it was that. It was using Current.com, a neobank from New York, to enable them to create a yield account.
Mm-hmm.
But in the back end, that would be going into Acala and it would be yielding through some of the DeFi protocols on Polkadot, but completely abstracted away from the user, which is where the future is, in my opinion.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
We can't expect everyone to seed phrases and double sign things and get hacked. And
right.
So, yeah, Acala was building that.
So we will touch on the fall of Acala in a second, but maybe quickly, what are some of the hard skills you learned at your time in Acala that you're actually using now to increase overall velocity of the Polkadot DeFi ecosystem?
So given that the main product of Acala at its early ages was AUSD,
mm-hmm.
it was a self-selling product in the Polkadot ecosystem because there wasn't a decentralized stablecoin. We at Polkadot, we really value decentralization a lot. So at that point, we didn't really care about USDT and USDC. We wanted our decentralized stablecoin to power the whole Polkadot ecosystem.
Yeah.
So as a BD person at Acala, I had to interact with every parachain, DeFi or no DeFi. Everyone needs a stablecoin.
Yeah.
So I really learned a lot about the ecosystem as a whole just by selling AUSD and kind of announcing integrations and see where a stablecoin would fit in the Polkadot ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the positives that it left me. The challenges, I would say just stablecoins are very tough products.
Of course,
in Polkadot, we kind of had a first mover advantage. But once you start getting outside of Polkadot,
mm-hmm.
it's just very competitive.
Sure.
At that point, Terra was on a tear, pun intended.
Yeah. Hey, I never touched Terra. That was too freaky for me.
I put my mom's money in Anchor. So I it was a good product.
It was a good product.
Everyone was talking about Terra and how it's amazing. And they were growing their issuance like crazy. So, yeah, I really learned like the challenges that you have for actually bootstrapping liquidity, utility, safety, stability of a stablecoin product.
Yeah, good stuff. So maybe just real quick, we won't dwell on it, but the depegging for Acala.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I mean, it was probably 8 months into my tenure in Acala.
Yeah.
It was the best job in my career up to that point. I was enjoying a lot. I was learning a lot. I was doing actually what I wanted to do. All this to say, like, I was just very personally invested in the project and emotionally invested. So that's why when this happened, like, it was a hard emotional hit. We didn't expect it. We had an amazing engineering team.
Yeah.
Brian Chen is like biggest Substrate contributor outside of Parity.
Yeah.
We had all the ingredients, and then to see it kind of all fall apart in a matter of days, weeks, it was tough, and it was completely understandable the decision that they had to make to keep the project alive.
Okay.
So a lot of us, I think at that point it was kind of half of the headcount, had to be let go.
Sure.
And that was kind of what led me into Parody.
Scooped up by Parody.
Yeah.
So then what's the mission from there on out?
So that's why it was a natural fit. And it was basically the head of DeFi of the BD team.
Mm-hmm.
So looking after all DeFi integration. So bringing DeFi builders that wanted to build DeFi parachains into Polkadot. But one of the changes that I also brought to Parody BD was that I wanted Parody to support BD teams of parachains because applications were also going to be big on Polkadot. And Parody didn't focus much on applications at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It was very centered around parachain development. We started kind of developing a model of supporting Moonbeam, Akala, Astar, smart contract chains to bring interesting applications and app developers into Polkadot.
Yeah.
If it's a DEX and it's an application or an app chain and it's good, we shouldn't really care. It's good for the ecosystem. That was my job at
Well, let's talk Parody. A little bit about what's working DeFi-wise in the ecosystem. What are some projects that you personally are impressed with?
Nowadays, I think it's obvious that Hydra is doing so good. But from before, I really like the idea of a app chain in Polkadot.
Mm.
It's one of the few, Mangata at that point had also a similar strategy focused on different things, on MEV resistance.
Yeah.
But those two, I was really bullish in seeing like what developers could do customizing a full blockchain for a specific use case.
Mm-hmm.
And Hydra has been executing greatly. Right?
Absolutely.
And then they're starting to see the fruits of their work,
exactly.
Right?
Because
it's not been an easy ride for them, I think. It just shows the power of Substrate in an application. Uniswap can do all of that. They're trying to do it with the Uni V2 and kind of making it more of a lower infrastructure thing for applications to tap into Uniswap.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I don't think there.
Just
there's a lot of limitations into what you can do at the smart contract layer, and Hydra doesn't have those limitations.
What do you think about the smart contract DeFi in the ecosystem, though? I mean, Moonbeam.
We can't forget that's how it all started.
Sure.
Right? It was just the easiest way to start onboarding applications.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, piggybacking on the EVM's networking effects, and that was basically the execution of Moonbeam.
Yeah.
They did a great job.
They did.
And at that point in my Akala days, we were kind of competitive in a way, because Akala also had their EVM, which I think they launched it finally. It was proven that the EVM was kind of the best way to be able to bootstrap DeFi activity. And up till this day, Stellaswap, Moonwell are one of the most active DeFi applications on Polkadot.
Lots of potential in Polkadot, but let's talk about the pain.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of areas that need some serious focus, serious improvement. Just to catch our audience up, during the Parody decentralization, BD was one of the arms that was let go.
Yep.
You landed on your feet, started Velocity Labs.
Exactly.
And this is, I think, a response to the pain points you've identified. So maybe you could tell us some of those harsh points.
So the idea started brewing actually before the big decentralization announcement. So for us at Velocity, it was actually a very timely event.
Perfect.
But the idea started probably back in March, May of
mm-hmm.
2023.
Mm-hmm.
And it started with my co-founders. So Lucas from Centrifuge, Jakub from Hydra, and Alexi from Interlay, where they're huge Polkadot builders from the beginning, obviously specifically to DeFi, very competent, very well-funded, but they've seen firsthand the frictions of building and bootstrapping a product on Polkadot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of issues, right? And some of these issues they kind of attempted in taking them into their own hands and putting parachain resources into actually solving them. But they noticed that they're ecosystem-wide, and there should be a team focused solely on solving them.
Yeah.
And Parody wasn't that team. Parody is actually deeper in the tech stack. They do a great job in protocol development.
Sure.
But we saw that gap between Parody and parachains. And having a fully integrated team where we have core engineers, full stack engineers, product people, marketing, BD,
mm-hmm.
That would fill that gap and kind of would provide that service to the ecosystem. So specific issues that we're trying to solve are basically around accessibility and interoperability.
Okay.
two core components of DeFi.
Okay, explain.
So accessibility is basically the ability to be able to move, access the ecosystem from abroad. Okay. Right, there aren't really a lot of ways to do that. It's a steep learning curve for anyone that doesn't know anything about Polkadot to land into a actual parachain and do stuff.
Yeah.
Right now, Moonbeam is probably the main gateway.
Sure.
Again, because of the EVM,
like that,
they have all the general message passing protocols, Wormhole, Axelar, Layer Zero, et cetera, et cetera. So that's an entry point, but that's to Moonbeam. Mm-hmm. Right. Then you have the centralized exchange problem, which is another big kind of entry point to any ecosystem. It's from the off-chain world into the on-chain world.
Yeah.
And up to this day, the current state of things is that each parachain has to set up their own centralized exchange relationships and infrastructure.
Right.
Right. So when Polkadot was like hottest girl in town, centralized exchanges were willing to play ball because they said, yeah, we want to be in this.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that's not the case anymore.
There's
a lot more competition. Mm-hmm. There's obviously a little bit of bad reputation about Polkadot. It's not EVM, so they have to do a little bit more custom work. So then parachain tokens and parachains themselves aren't getting the centralized exchange support that they need.
Because each parachain needs to negotiate, even on a technical level, implementing their token,
technical,
right?
And commercial. Right, and they're seen as a blockchain. So they're seen as a Solana, as a Aptos. They're not seen as a Uniswap. Right.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of technical work, and also like the centralized exchanges have to see the benefit, the payoff for putting that on. And then if you don't have the numbers, if you don't have the traction, then they're gonna say no. But it's a chicken and the egg. You need those entry points to be able to acquire value, TVL, users, et cetera, et cetera.
So let's stick on this centralized exchange problem right now. How are we addressing it?
We have a good solution. We just have to execute on it.
Okay.
And that was basically the vision of Asset Hub, right? As its name implies, it's a blockchain, it's a system chain that only focuses on registering, minting, and managing and transferring assets, right? That's its sole purpose, mm-hmm. and it's supposed to provide it for the whole ecosystem.
Yeah.
So now that there's this ability to be able to mint parachain tokens natively on Asset Hub, now there's the ability for centralized exchanges to only support Asset Hub and be able to support the rest of the ecosystem.
Just like they do with any ERC-20 token.
Exactly.
Right?
So that's kind of the value prop that we're trying to sell to centralized exchanges now.
Good.
It's like, look, we know that it's not scalable for you to support each parachain. We're at 50, and our roadmap is even going to make it easier to launch a parachain. It's not scalable. You only have to support Asset Hub, and then with XEM, you can reach any corner of the ecosystem.
The users can. Exchanges only have to worry about Asset Hub, right?
They do have to have some integration on their end, because the transaction has to be constructed from the centralized exchange. But underneath the hood, it's a transaction into Asset Hub, and then an XEM into the user's wallet on the destination parachain. But those tools already exist.
Oh, okay.
They were developed by Parity. It's called Asset Transfer API.
Okay.
So we have all the tools. It's just coordinating them, getting them excited enough, putting some money behind them, of course, to incentivize them, and then have those tools actually be utilized by centralized exchanges to enable these on-ramps directly into parachain.
So if the user is just like, here it is on Interlay.
It's abstracted away.
This is brilliant.
It's abstracted
this
away from the user.
Okay.
That's what Asset Hub was built. It wasn't really built to be like a consumer-facing product.
This is brilliant.
There's a lot of work behind it.
I bet there is.
We're getting there.
Parachains need to register their tokens on Asset Hub to start.
Exactly.
This is possible
that needs
today?
To happen. Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay.
But we don't have that many parachains doing it because there isn't really an incentive to do it yet.
Is it a lot of work?
My understanding is that it isn't.
Okay.
It isn't. We probably need to maybe put a little bit more documentation behind it and kind of some hand-holding and actually also do the work of kind of pushing them to do it.
Yep.
But the carrot stick is like, hey, you can actually get your token listed in any of the centralized exchanges that support Asset Hub.
Look, we have some strong communities in the ecosystem that are built around these parachains, and they're holding governance tokens. So people in the ecosystem, you don't need to wait for the team to go ahead and decide to do this. You can push for this today.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
What's the work look like on the centralized exchange side?
So Velocity started doing the work with Binance. That was kind of a hybrid. I was still in Parity at that point, but we ended up finishing the deal
keeping
up
that.
And Velocity.
Nice, nice.
So even though we didn't announce it that way, Velocity had a big influence in getting Binance to list USDC.
Oh, yeah.
So right now they list USDC and USDT on Asset Hub. Then the second one was KuCoin.
KuCoin.
So KuCoin, that was like 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. They started with USDT. The idea is that progressively they also list USDC. And we're looking into the usual suspects, the OKXs, Huobis, Kraken, Coinbase's, you know,
Crypto.com
as well, but all at varying degrees of progress, right?
Yeah,
it's right now it's hard conversations to have. It's an uphill battle, but I think it's just they have to see other ones doing it first before they jump ship.
Sure.
And we're already getting to like some sort of a critical mass.
Do we have to pay for them? In some cases,
it's not a one size fits all.
Depends.
So some centralized exchanges have the policy that they can get paid for listings,
mm-hmm.
Because of conflict of interest or whatever. Some can, and then some others you kind of have to get creative into how to be able to sweeten the deal for them.
Sure.
And then generally that's through some financial means.
Yeah.
But it's not like directly attributed to I'm paying you this to do that. So maybe we do it around some learn and earn campaigns, campaigning, marketing campaigns, and we try to, again, make it attractive for them to actually do the work.
And with the case like Binance or KuCoin, if they've listed these native stablecoins already, they're pretty much good to go for any parachain token that registers?
It's basically like you're an Ethereum application,
yeah,
and you have to go to Coinbase, KuCoin, whatever,
yeah,
and say, hey, can you list my token?
Yeah.
So you still have to have that conversation. There's still that convincing to do.
Of course.
But
the technical
you taking
side.
Out all the technical thing
yeah.
just makes it a lot easier.
Super.
Right?
So, okay.
So yeah, hopefully we'll have some tokens that are going to be listed, right? We have some new projects that are going to be launching.
Yeah.
And so hopefully those will kind of push some of these exchanges to say, okay, if we want to list this token,
mm-hmm.
we have to integrate with Asset Hub. So we're trying to use all of the ecosystem, all of the resources available to get this done because we know how important it is for accessibility, basically.
So this is in the accessibility bucket. Is there anything else in the accessibility bucket that you want to talk about?
Well, bridging.
Okay.
Big, big topic. So
yeah.
our, let's say, Bridge Hub up to this point has been Moonbeam. Right,
mm-hmm.
that's where mostly the liquidity comes in. But again, the user lands on Moonbeam and they have to manually go into wherever they want to go. So Moonbeam has done a great work in kind of building Moonbeam routed liquidity, which kind of automates
products,
that.
Yeah.
So Hydra already has it integrated, I think, Interlay. So it allows from a bridge UI to actually land on the parachain, similar concept that I just said with Asset Hub.
Mm-hmm.
It does a hop on Moonbeam and then XCM.
Cool.
So that's the current state of things, but that was the idea of a Bridge Hub, right? And with Bridge Hub, obviously soon to be live, first bridge to go live is going to be Snowbridge.
Mm.
Huge expectation in the ecosystem. So we have to provide options, right? Moonbeam has done a great job. We want to provide more options for more trustless bridges or other bridges that can connect to any parachain, basically, out of the box.
Yeah.
Again, it's not infrastructure that you launch a parachain and then you have to go out and talk to bridges, centralized exchanges, et cetera, et cetera. It should be out of the box. That's where we want it to be.
Do you have a relationship with Snowbridge?
Yes. Yeah. We've been in talks with them because it's, again, in our best interest to help them.
Okay. Yeah.
They're helping solve this accessibility issue. And we're thinking about some things to build from Velocity in-house that would make it easier for any parachain and user to actually leverage both Snowbridge and then Bridge Hub in general, because the idea is to have more bridges in
Bridge Hub. What else would connect to Bridge Hub?
Any bridge. The thing is that there's obviously development work. But there's an idea for Axelar to have an instance in Bridge Hub.
Nice.
Maybe Wormhole, maybe Layer Zero, maybe there's a lot of new interoperability protocols.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's some BD work, some technical work to be done
mm-hmm.
to get these bridges integrated. But of course, we have to have a high bar. We've had Nomad, we've had Multichain.
We've had enough hacks,
so
yeah.
We have to have a high bar. But ultimately, it's up to governance,
yeah.
right? Even if they do the development work, it has to be input it into Bridge Hub's runtime. So that's obviously a governance proposal that needs to be done. So sure. Yeah, the community is going to choose.
And who would pay for this development as well? Like if we want to integrate certain bridges,
it makes sense,
you know,
that comes from the treasury, right?
It does, yeah.
It's a system parachain.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah.
So that's accessibility. That was one kind of big bucket. You mentioned another one.
Interoperability.
Let's
so,
talk about it.
So yeah, we kind of have it split into one, getting money users in,
mm-hmm.
and then two, getting users around. Polkadot
okay,
ecosystem,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Polkadot was built on this pillar. Blockchain of blockchains, trustless
yeah.
interoperability.
That's what it's supposed to be all about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then fast forward to today, honestly, we don't have a lot of interesting interoperability use cases.
No.
And even the most basic one, which is moving tokens around.
Yeah. The most interesting ones are in DeFi, actually, right?
Yeah.
Bifrost, HydroDX,
that's
Interlay,
probably
right?
one of the best. Mm-hmm. The Treasury acquiring USDT, USDC
super
on Hydra,
cool.
That's an
yeah.
XCM use case.
Mm-hmm.
But these are relatively new. They're all just starting to appear. And we've been like beating the interoperability drum for a while.
Yeah.
So we want to start by reducing the friction of moving tokens around.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very fragmented user experience. If you try to move tokens, it's very path dependent, meaning that if you want to move from Hydra to Asset Hub, you have to go to the Hydra UI. If you have to move Akala to, I don't know, Bifrost, you have to go to either Hydra, Akala or Bifrost UI. There's no like unified experience. If I want
yeah.
to move assets around, regardless of where I'm sitting,
mm-hmm.
go to this UI and do it.
Mm.
So we feel there's a big gap there, and we're trying to solve it in a multifaceted approach.
How?
So one is a XCM SDK is what we're calling it.
Oh yeah.
So currently there's like 7 or even more already in the ecosystem.
Okay.
Basically because we tend in Polkadot to reinvent the wheel a lot. So all these parachains, given that XCM is pretty complex and each parachain has their own XCM configuration.
Yeah.
So the XCM SDK that they built has to be very focused on what their use case is and what parachain they're going to talk to, right?
Sure.
There's also maintenance of these SDKs. So all these 7, none of them are really generalizable, where the SDK can plug into any parachain, any application, any wallet, and it works. So we want to build that. Velocity wants to make it super easy for any parachain to be able to just plug out of the bag. And be able
so
to
so now we're
going to
get the Velocity XCM SDK?
We are going to get an eighth. But this is going to be kind of the first team that's going to do it.
Hmm.
That's not either a wallet team or a parachain team.
Okay.
So we're going to have the objective of being as generalizable as possible.
Any other solutions to the interoperability issue that you want to talk about there?
One that combines a little bit of the two is CCTP. CCTP is the transport protocol of Circle. So
oh.
it enables Circle to move across native chains very easily with a burn and mint. So we at Velocity, we're close to Circle. We're kind of the ones that manage the relationship for the Polkadot ecosystem.
Wow.
And it's a similar conversation than the centralized exchange conversation. Like there's a lot of people in the queue to get in CCTP integrated. So we have to convince them that Polkadot is kind of where they should be putting their resources. And ideally, we can also plug it into this XCM SDK, where you can plug Snowbridge, you can plug any parachain, and you can bring USDC from Polygon, Ethereum, Solana directly into any parachain, the safest
Super
way possible.
Cool. Wow. What's your relationship like with USDT?
USDT is a little bit more hands-off.
Mm.
We do have an open communication channel. But yeah, it's just less cadence than with Circle.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Good stuff. This is a lot of work ahead.
A lot.
You mentioned you have the parachain founders on your side. What about a workforce to make all this happen? Are you hiring right now? Or
yes.
What are you looking for?
Yeah, so the past month has been hiring, building up the team. We onboarded Nuno. Nuno's going to be our technical lead. He's previously a runtime developer with Centrifuge for the
nice.
Last 2 years.
Mm.
So he knows Substrate in and out. He actually worked in XCM
sure.
a lot at Centrifuge. So he's the first one. We also have MEP in operations. She was actually previously a Web3 foundation employee from the old days.
Perfect.
And then we were hiring a full stack engineer and a front end engineer.
Yeah.
And then later down the road, a UX UI designer, and then we'll start building up from there.
And when can people expect to start seeing the fruits of these labors?
We have three other on-ramps. So on and off-ramps, being able to buy .USDT, USDC with a credit card, with a wire transfer, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
They're actually the first ones that are going to integrate asset transfer API. So we're going to have our first use case into production of buying USDC with a credit card,
yeah,
and then it landing directly on a parachain. Oh. So that's also fruit of our labor.
Obviously
the technical things in-house, mm-hmm, are gonna take a little bit more time.
Yeah.
And then the other big initiative that, again, trying to tackle these two things at the same time, is the DeFi infra and tooling bounty, which just got approved.
How much was that?
It was 500K dot. So with the current pump, it's up to 6.5 million.
Nice.
So we have two goals there. One is infrastructure integration costs. So the costs that I just mentioned with centralized exchanges, on-ramps, to kind of pay them to do the integration. Now that's going to come from the treasury, which makes it a lot easier. And then tooling development. We want to be very clear into what parachain founders actually need,
yeah,
what their problems are, mm-hmm, and lay them out in RFPs, very clear technical specs,
yeah,
for any developer team to apply, kind of similar to a Web3 Foundation's grant program, but from the treasury and operated by Velocity. And we have Akala, Moonbeam, Centrifuge, Hydra, Nova Wallet, and Geodo as curators.
Okay, wow.
So yeah, we're trying to get like as many inputs as possible from the builder and community side,
uh-huh,
to be able to utilize this bounty to actually get the things that we need to get built.
Nico, thank you so much for doing all this work.
Thank you for having me.
Who would do it without you?
It's a community effort, actually.
Yeah, of course.
Right? We're utilizing the treasury. Of course, we applied for our decentralized futures,
yeah,
grant.
Yeah.
We're working very closely with centralized exchanges, parachains, Distractive. Like, it's definitely a teamwork.
Of course, it's teamwork. Sometimes we need somebody to step up and kind of show us the way, direct us a little bit. And I think that's the role you're playing here.
Absolutely. And I'm happy I'm playing it.
Can't wait for this DeFi situation to pick up.
Awesome.
Thanks for coming on the show.
All right, brother.